if you talk to these people, they would define it in the way that because of this, they became multimillionaires.
If you're a very high vibrational human being, you will not be able to hang around these people because they talk differently, they think differently.
Yeah.
And the world glorifies.
What if you just want money for yourself? For better clothes, a better car, travel the world?
Initially, when I was younger, I didn't want to do anything for the world. I wanted the next iPod, I wanted a Montblanc. I was a 10-year-old who had a Montblanc pen. Because I saw it, I found it pretty, and I said, I want that.
Is it possible that somebody is not able to manifest because there's something wrong in the planetary positions, or it's not the right time, or
they're just manifesting the wrong thing? We should not even get into predictions. So a lot of people ask me, will this happen to me? I said, come on, you're a human being. Well, make it happen. Use your, you know, meditate, do all this and make whatever you want, make it happen. Chart will support something for you.
There are so many healers, and especially with sound, the Tibetan bowls that you're talking about, like even here, even in the West now, there are many, okay? And my always fear with sound is because sound, like you said, tends to move things inside. You know, we've all seen those experiments, how it works on water and it forms different shapes.
Absolutely. You have to be really well trained, one.
Exactly, yeah.
You have to have a very great intention in life.
Hi everyone, thank you for joining us. Today we are diving into the world of manifestation and astrology and how you can use that in your life to advance further, to get what you want. Let's meet our guest now and we'll do the introductions. Namaskar Manaji. Thank you so much for joining us. I would like you to start, introduce yourself. What I know about you is you've done quite a few things in life. Okay, before you came into this field, completely deep dived into spirituality. So can you let us know how did you start?
So actually it started very early in life. At the age of around 7, 8 is my first memory of attending these Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Sunday. You know, the bhajan kirtan that happens at the ISKCON temple.
Yes.
So we were little kids and our mother used to take us and she introduced us to the jap mala, you know. So as kids, you don't have that much motivation for such things. So she would tell us that, you know, you whatever you want in your life, you do 108 rounds of this and you'll get it.
Okay.
A child has no logical mind very active at that time. So it started working.
Okay.
Because you just believe everything your mother's saying.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the belief in your mother or it was the mantra jap that worked, but we developed the habit of doing 108 rounds every night before sleeping, and then we would ask for things from God and I would get them.
Okay.
Then my first heartbreak happened at the age of 16. And that was a very painful experience as a, you know, teenager, your first love, and it's, you think you're going to marry this person and you've already, I don't know, I was an intense child. So I had that feeling that, you know, this is it. And that broke, and I found myself very devastated as a 16-year-old. So my father gave me my first book on, and it was an Osho, Rajneesh, book. And Osho talked about enlightenment in that. And I don't know whether it was the pain of heartbreak, but I was very attracted to Buddha's, explanation of Buddha's enlightenment. And I said, I want that. I want what this guy has. How did he feel? Because I was feeling miserable. And I was like, he's explaining it so beautifully. Then my father passed away at the age of 20.
Okay.
And again, the pain of death was another blow to, you know, what we see as reality around us. As a 20-year-old, you don't understand death. So when he passed away, I said, everything is here, but he's not here and he'll never come back. So what is death? Was a lot of, it troubled me that things, what are you saying? That we're going to die? Then nothing makes sense. So then what's the point of working, going to school, earning money if we're going to die in the end?
Yeah.
So that kick-started the real intense Kriya Yoga practices, and I went to Shri Shri. I was seeking very, very intensely. So I wanted to learn everything and something that could ease my pain, right? And then one thing led to another, and I found solace in the spiritual practices. That's the only thing that made sense in my life. So on a spiritual path, I think that's how the journey went. But on the personal front, life is the same for all of us. We have bills to pay. We are studying. I went to a university. Then, you spend so much money and you have to work and earn that money because you feel guilty that you made your parents spend so much.
Yeah, so
And
what
you're
did you
not
study?
studying. You're not studying. You're not doing anything. My first degree was a bachelor's in business administration and an MBA after that. Then I realized that corporate life is not for me. I started my first company at 20. And I got success very quickly in everything that I did. I don't know when people ask me, things are not working out. I don't know that. In my professional life, I never know. I don't know how to not be successful. Like, why don't things work out for you? But in my personal life, I had a real tough time. So everybody's fighting different battles. Mine was in the personal sphere. Like, no relationship would stick. People are dying all around me. The people that I love the most, all gone from my life. My brother's in another country. There's a lot of turmoil on the emotional front. So professionally, things were going really well. But then again, nothing satisfied me. So I got very quick success. And then in that quick success, the desire for that was over. I didn't feel like going to work the next day. And I had taken up projects. I had taken up, people had given me advances. And I remember just laying in bed and telling, and my mother was like, "Why are you not going to work?" I said, "Because I cannot do that for another day in my life. It's done." And she says, "You can't just say it's done. Like, you have to, this is it now. This is your, you've done, you spent 4 years studying that. And now," I said, "No, I am meant for creative things. I can only be sitting in an office all day." So I went and started studying design from NIFT. It is one of the best design schools in India.
That's so weird. I'm
And
from NIFT myself.
so that's the only thing I knew. NIFT Delhi is where I went. And 4 years I studied design there. And then I went and studied, and then I studied interior architecture, and I got into like interior design, construction. Again, after a few years, I got the same feeling that this is done. And I can't. I returned people's money. I shut down a project that I was doing. I gave it to a friend of mine. And I don't know why, I just didn't feel like even it's this feeling that I can't bear to do this anymore. My soul is seeking something else. Then I went to start, then I thought, okay, maybe interiors is too limiting. Maybe I need to act and make movies. So the next decision was, okay, I'm going to LA. I've gotten admission at UCLA, and I'm going to get into filmmaking. So I did that for. Nothing worked. I came back. I was doing really well. I was getting a lot of, the short films. One of the films got selected at Cannes Film Festival. So it was good. It wasn't like I left it because it wasn't working out. It was working out too soon. I was within 3 months of completing the degree, I was sitting with like good directors in India talking about projects and how I can work. So the ball was rolling really fast. Again, that feeling came up that no way can I get stuck in this. And this time my family had it. They were like, "This is just becoming a pattern. You're a quitter. You're just quitting. You taste success and then you leave it. And God knows what this girl is going to do in her life. God knows." Like, that was the talk of, everybody around me was like, "Now she's quit this." So that's how it happened. And finally, I realized that my calling from that entire journey was about the spiritual path. And the other things kept falling off because That's not what the soul was here to do.
So how did you start with this? Then what was the next thing that drew you to Rishikesh, first of all? That's where you live, right?
Yeah. Okay. So after I had my daughter, I mean, I was still running our family business. I was still a part of it, you know. And I was doing a lot of other things also. But there was always a humanitarian in me that was never satisfied with like selfish pursuits.
Yeah.
You know, earning money just for your own sake, to grow your bank balance, to buy more things, another watch, another bag. And then the bag would just lay there and I wouldn't feel anything for that bag. So I felt very depressed is the best word. I got up in the morning and I was feeling empty. And I started crying. And I called my brother up and I said, nothing feels good. We have this, I have everything that God, anybody can want. I have the money, the jewelry, the houses, the life, the freedom, the baby, the man. I have everything. Why am I crying at 9 a.m. in the morning? And all I asked the universe was, tell me what I'm here to do. Just tell me what I'm here to do because I can't take it anymore. And that night, I saw the Sri Yantra in my sleep.
Okay.
And I had seen that. I thought it was a pattern. And I had seen that in many places, you know, here and there in life. But I never knew what the Sri Yantra was. So I Googled it. Like, we're the Google generation. So the first thing I did in the morning is, you know, these Indian cosmic patterns I was Googling. And then I saw that it's a Sri Yantra. And I was like, I don't know anything about this. Why did it pop up in my sleep? So I kept sitting and meditated and I asked God for clarity. That what do you want me to teach? Because I was full of self-doubt. After 20 years on the spiritual path, I never thought I was meant to be a teacher. You know, there's so many enlightened masters around me. Why should I teach? Yeah, everything that I have to say is already said. There's nothing left to say. What am I going to say? Yes, you can be enlightened. Yes, samadhi can happen. But everybody is already saying that. Why should anyone listen to me? And what can I contribute to this? No, I cannot talk like Sadhguru. I cannot talk like Osho. I don't have, you know, that formal, a very beautifully curated spiritual practice. I know nothing. I have a mix of a lot of stuff that I use for myself. So self-doubt. But then something crazy happens. I start painting this yantra. I get this feeling that I want to paint my own yantra. Whatever it is, I want to paint it. I felt the desire to want to paint this big thing. I painted it. I don't know what came into me. I picked up camphor and a little bit of herbs and I started doing this aarti. And I didn't stop myself. I was like, you know what? You've gone crazy. Now just go full crazy. You know, you want to go crazy? Go full crazy. My family is wondering that there's something off, but they didn't interfere with it because they'd rather have me do crazy things at home than go to a psychotherapist or a shrimp and, you know, take medicine. So they're like, if this is floating her boat and she's looking happy and not crying, let her do what she's doing. So nobody interfered. Then I Googled the mantras for this yantra. I don't know why I felt like there are mantras attached to this.
Okay.
No book was read till then. Nothing was. I just knew that this is a Sri Yantra. Then I said there is a mantra. I just got a feeling that there is some mantra that is attached to this yantra. And I must recite it. I Googled it. I got the mantra. I got a lot of other knowledge around the yantra. In my meditation, it just came out of me and I don't know how it came out of me. I have no logical explanation for this.
Okay.
And I started doing this puja every day. Within 10-15 days, I got the desire that I think I have something to teach.
Okay.
Because people didn't want to meditate. All my life, whether I was in New York, whether I was in LA, India, I would always ask my classmates, my friends, that do you want to meditate? And you know, like my friends in LA would were great spots. So I would have these meditation hangouts
Wow.
where I would feed them Indian food. And I said, just come and meditate. I want to make you guys meditate. So while I was studying acting, the joy was coming from just sharing this practice with my friends.
Yeah.
In India, I saw nobody wanted to meditate. My friends were like, please give us a glass of wine, but don't tell me that I need to sit and meditate. You do that alone. I'll chill and I'll drink wine and I'll go back home. So I saw in India, you know, there even in otherwise, the reason why people don't want to meditate is because they have issues in life,
Yeah.
money, health, relationships. And the thing is that you think that first I want to fix this, then I'll think of meditating and all this peace and all this. I can't sit in peace right now. I've got bills to pay.
Yeah.
People think that meditation is something that is to be done once everything is figured out, so
Exactly.
that you can go now seek peace. But that's not the case, right?
Yeah,
All
no.
your problems get solved once we learn how to meditate. It's just
Meditate.
how it works. You meditate and
Yeah.
everything around you starts just
Yeah.
magically working out.
Right.
So I said, what is it that something that I've always had in my life? I've never had a problem with money. Never, ever had a problem with money. Anything I've ever wanted to do, I've been able to do it, regardless of what the amount in my bank was. The money came
Yeah.
for whatever I wanted to do. And I said,
So, can I just ask a personal question here? So, you think this is also because of the japas that you used to do as a kid, or were you already born into an affluential family, or?
so my father was a self-made millionaire,
Okay.
and before I was born, they were going through a really bad time.
Okay.
Like there was no money in the house. He was a techie. He was one of the first people to start computers. IT was just getting formed in the mid-80s.
Okay, yeah.
So he was going through a tough time because he was an entrepreneur in IT and nobody knew what a computer was. But what I hear is that when I was born, you know, in India we say Lakshmi, girls born, it's Lakshmi. So when I was born, this inflow of abundance came in terms of he got a first government contract, money came. So I even had a childhood baby photo of mine. My parents were really funny. I was a 3-month baby, and it's like I'm a 3-month baby on the bed, and the entire bed, only my face is visible. Is
Okay.
covered with wads of cash.
Wow.
That time, people had cash, you know, there were no cards. So because to celebrate that, okay, she's come, and look at that, money is also come. So at home, they call me Money. My mom nicknamed me Money, that she came and money came.
Is that
So
why
to
from money you became Mana or?
Mana is what they call me at home. So
Okay.
Mana is a very, like, my brother calls me Mana. My mom calls me Mana. My husband calls me Mana. Like all my friends who are very close to me call me Mana.
Okay.
So I didn't want a formal relationship with the world.
Ah, okay.
I see that as a problem in a lot of places, that suddenly a spiritual person is very formal. So I didn't want that. I just wanted to be everybody's friend because the whole point of being awakened or spiritual is that you want to help.
Yes.
You've got answers to something, or you've gone through something and you've made it, you've survived life, so you can probably help others handle
Yeah.
that a little better.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I lost track of
Yeah.
what we were talking about.
No, we were talking about that you never had any problem with money.
So,
So
I never
what you
had
could
any
teach
problem
people.
with money. So I said maybe nobody wants to learn, because I thought that after work, so I had a full time, you know, I was handling this big healthcare company,
Okay.
and I thought that when I come back from work, every day 1 hour, I will teach. So I will announce. I had a small Instagram account at that time, personal account. So I just made a little poster and I said, Tantra meditations, free Tantra meditations, daily class. You won't believe it. Half the people thought I was going to teach them how to have better sex.
Yeah, exactly, because that's the
People were messaging me, are you going to make us masturbate? Are we going to attend these classes nude? I said they're online classes. Why will you want to be nude online? And I was shocked by the meaning that the word tantra carries. I was like, yes, sex is sacred, but that's not what the purpose of tantra is. Yes, you should experience your lover in a very sacred way, but that's just a small aspect of this, the tantric spiritual process. So I was like, I took that poster down. I said, no, people are getting the wrong, they're gonna think, and my family will think, what is, she's teaching like these sacred weird sexual practices. So I didn't do that. Then I said, okay, you know what, nobody wants to meditate, they want money. Money is something I've never had a problem with. I've thought of things and they've happened. That's just how my life's been, to be very honest. Even before I took on any spiritual practices were only to calm my mind, or not to be able to. I was too overwhelmed by the world, to be honest. Maybe an oversensitive kid or a human being. So spirituality was more for protecting this sensitivity that was there, and to be able to deal with this world and this life. But I never, even before I learned about manifestation, I think I was always manifesting. Thoughts would come and things would happen. Thoughts would come and things would happen. So then later I figured out that there's a whole world of manifestation, and there are teachers in the West who talk about amazing practices like affirmations, manifesting, vision boarding. So that stuff excited me, and I did practice all that when I was in my younger years. And I saw that they give results very quickly, as opposed to the very formal spiritual practices. There's a big difference between Western methods of manifestation and the ancient Hindu ways of manifestation. Both have them. The Hindu way is more intense, and eventually you're taught that mukti or moksha. Don't get too attached to the manifestation. Be ready for moksha. That should be your final aim. Enjoy this world, but don't be ready to leave it. So I thought I'll teach people how to manifest money, because once they have the money, then maybe they'll be interested in Kriya Yoga, and they'll be curious about God, or they probably want to explore other mysticism, the mysticism that India has. So wealth manifestation became the first free course that I started teaching, and for about almost a year I taught it free online. And then one day, I think I just got this desire that I don't want to live in a city anymore and teach all this for free from my house. So I just spoke to Shiva. And always, with me, it's just conversations with God. Like, can you call me to you? I don't know. It just came out like that. It's just, now I'm done. This is not, I think it's time. Just call me. Call me. And I get a call from one of my teachers in Rishikesh. Who I had, he's my like go-to person. Like whenever I used to get stuck on my spiritual path, a person who could, bounce off these ideas with you, and just be that friend that holds the space for you while you're figuring things out. So he calls me up and he says that there's a space close to my place. I think you should get it, because I don't want anybody else to occupy this space. You have such a great energy. Keep it. Maybe whenever you come, because I used to go to Rishikesh so frequently, that whenever you come to Rishikesh, you can use it for your meditation. I said, that sounds amazing. But he says, you only have time till tomorrow, because I'm going to Brazil and you have to take a call right now. And I said, how much do I have to pay for it? He's like, we can discuss that. Don't worry about that. And I'll connect you with the ashram. You have to deal with them. He says, if you want this, come tomorrow morning. It was a big big decision to be made.
Yeah.
That I would invest this much money or pick up this place, and you know, overnight I have a husband, I have a kid. So I didn't tell anybody.
Okay.
And yeah, I just drove down, took the place, promised to pay them in a few installments. And that's it. It was done. And I came back and told my husband that I'm going to Rishikesh. I understand you have to take care of your work. And he's saying, "Excuse me, what do you
Yeah.
mean?" And what? I said, "Yeah, I've got this place. It's done. Nobody can stop me now. Nobody can influence me. That's why I didn't tell anybody, because I know you guys will have 10 things to say, you know." And that's it. He says, "I'm not letting you go alone." So he had a huge project that he had taken up. He just left it. And he
Wow,
says,
that's
"I'm
amazing.
going with you." Yeah, he left it. He left it. He says, "Hell with it. Hell with everything. If you're going, I'm coming. I'm not
Wow.
letting you go alone." So he was
Yeah.
a big, big
Support.
support system, yes. And because we also have a little daughter, and I couldn't have done both things together. So 1 year for him was he gave up his work just to help me, because he knows how much this meant to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's the perfect life
Husband.
partner and a
Yeah.
husband. Yes, totally, totally. Very kind person.
And now he's working from Rishikesh as well.
No, he poor thing, he has to go back and forth between Rishikesh, and now he's, because now I'm settled in, I've
Yeah.
done the work, and we have a good setup. I know the city. I have, when you just move to a new place, it's very difficult to understand how things work and get people to, work with you. So now all that is settled, he's at peace and he can handle his own work now. And I'm on my own.
And now you've recently had another daughter.
Yeah, we had a second baby.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
And
last. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much.
how's that working out?
So it was very tough. I will not deny it. Last year was. I have a tendency to bite more than I can chew. I mean, I don't know where that comes from, but it's this, I don't know, I don't think things through. I just say yes and then I just deal with it. So I was setting up the center. There were courses happening online and offline, and I had forgotten what it meant was to be pregnant. So when I conceived again and I had everything planned, my husband said, "Just cancel everything." And I said, "No, that cannot happen now. This is my whole life's desire. Like, all my life I've been lost.
Yeah.
And now when I found it, nothing can be more important. Not the children, not you, nobody. This is it. This is my sadhana." So it was tough being pregnant and doing courses, and but the universe gives you the strength
Yeah.
That is needed to pull things through. And luckily now the baby's a very happy baby,
Okay.
so it's easy to feed her, pump some milk, leave. Everything works out, actually. It all works out if you have the intention and the focus. It's
Yeah.
magical how everything will work out. One should not worry too much about the how, which is where I think we all get stuck. We get a desire, we have an intention, and then we start getting stuck with how is it going to happen?
Yeah.
How will I do it? And that's all I say, that just don't think about the how. Don't let your mind go to the how for even a second. Do what you can right now, and then tomorrow you do what you can, and then day after you do what you can. And
Yeah.
that's it. The how, it keeps changing, organically shapes up.
Yeah. So, how I found you was you came up on my Instagram feed about 2 years ago, and you had made a very nice video that time about Lakshmi. I think it was the rules of Lakshmi. And this was rule number 4. Chanchal Lakshmi, or the Lakshmi's nature is Chanchal Chitwan. And it has it had a very peppy music also. And I was just in bed with my daughter and we were scrolling and we stumbled upon that. And we both listened to it. And my daughter was only 5 at the time. And she listened to the whole thing. And she was like, Mama, we need to show this to Papa. Papa needs to change his relationship with Lakshmi. So. And so that's how we met you. Like we found you, basically.
So that's the way of the universe.
Yeah.
And I love the internet because the internet is not a controlled, no one's controlling it too much.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, it's this web of interconnected.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but then with Lakshmi, my question is, because like you said, okay, don't worry about the how. But for money, it's very difficult to not worry about the how. In the sense,
because it's difficult. Why? Tell me, why is it difficult? Because since the beginning, we are told that it's a scarce commodity.
Yeah, okay.
Parents talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
Soch samajh ke kharcho. Sorry, in English it'll be think before you spend.
Yeah.
Especially the Indian thought processes. Be conscientious with money, be careful, keep it well. Let's not forget the times that India came out from. We've come from a very difficult last, at least centuries of, you know, things being taken away from us, being plundered. Like, you know, there's so much abuse that our wealth was stolen. So the consciousness became fearful. Right? Yeah. Because we've seen a lot of scarcity, a lot of instability. So the human, the Indian mindset became very, very scared about money. And then when you keep hearing things like that, not just from your parents, from media, you're hearing about save now for a better retirement. What will you do when you're old? Bure vakt ke liye bacha ke rakho. All your insurances, all your banks are talking about that. All your healthcare is talking about fear of life. You might not live. So all media advertising is really, what I observe is based on that fear. It's triggering your fear. And then you spend on those things. So I'm not saying be reckless. I mean, although I have been very reckless with money. I have been reckless to the extent, like I never think that tomorrow it'll get over. And it gets over. It's not like it doesn't get over. But then it comes again. Every time I think this time I've, you know, I've got myself into trouble now. Like I spent all my savings on building the center. On setting up a new space. You know, renting, because I don't have a house in Rishikesh, so we're paying a lot of rent over here. I have a team of like 5 people. Their salaries have to go. I took on too much. And now I was in a place where I was left. You won't believe this. The day the center opened, I'd hired 2 people. There was cleaning stuff, like, you know, the basic that has to be there. I didn't even have 10,000 in my bank account. 10,000 rupees. And the lady who cleans, she's like, okay, I will take my salary every 15 days. So I said, wait for a month. And on top of that, you won't believe this, I had committed to teaching, not charging people for what I teach here. Because I said, I am teaching you the holy science of manifestation. There is no way that money will not come to me. So I'm only going to teach for free. My husband's like, you'll teach for free? Then how's money going to come to you? Like through whom? How will it come to your account? I said, I don't know. It'll come. So I had a donation box kept. And people would say, how much do you charge for a class? I said, no. Whatever you want to give, you can put in this. So all the foreigners were shocked. What? Someone would give 20 rupees. Someone would give 200. Like that's the bandwidth of the kind of donations that came. So I had only 10,000 left. I had to buy groceries for my house. I had to run this place also because I'm a grihastha, right? I'm not a sannyasi. There's a big difference. If I was a sannyasi, one dubki in the river, how much money do I need to survive? Hardly. Rishikesh feeds sadhus for free anyway. But I'm a grihastha. I have a rent. I have rent to pay. I have bills to pay. I have a child to feed, clothes. Everything is there, and I like my things also. I like good clothes. I want to wear it. My sari needs to be ironed. It needs to be washed. And if I'm doing all that all day, I cannot teach meditation. So grihasthas have a very different. They have very different problems in the world. While being on the spiritual path, it's not easy to do both, to juggle both. I was sitting like this and I said, again, I've landed up in a soup. I have not charged anybody this whole month. God knows how much money these guys would have given me. And I don't have money to pay the staff also. So I was just asking God that, what kind of spirituality is this? That the person that is teaching spirituality is broke, has no money, and it's so shameful and it's so such bad karma that I don't even have money to pay to my cleaning lady who's worked all month. How will I operate on this model? I was just like, how would you expect me to operate on this model? You won't believe it. I didn't feel like coming to the center the other day. I just didn't feel like it. I was feeling very bad. And I've created such a nice space. I've done everything, and I don't feel like going. I told my husband, I don't feel like going to the center today. I'm not teaching anything. So he says, what do you want to do? I said, let's go. There's this cave over here in Rishikesh. He says, okay, yeah, let's go. He's also a big enthusiast for all meditation and spiritual stuff. So we went to this cave. It's the Vashisht Gupha. And I sat there in meditation. And my thought went to the sadhu, the Vashisht guru, sage Vashisht. And my thought was, how will I pay this lady? I couldn't meditate. My meditation was, how do I pay this lady? Come on, tell me. There's an answer that came. And I was shocked. I thought I was like, wait, this cannot be happening. It's like somebody answering me. So I thought I'm going to lose it now. I'm asking the question, I'm answering. But the answer came that when you have not thought about how till now,
Why
and
would?
you've trusted Bholenath or Mahadev or Shiva up till now, then now you're worried over 10,000. Your lakhs and lakhs you've spent. Then you didn't think. And now over 10,000 rupees, you're thinking, when you have decided to surrender, then just surrender completely. Now don't think over this small amount. I said, okay. And I told my husband, okay, let's go. Done. Meditation is done. I've got my answer. You won't believe it. Since after coming back from that cave, on my way to the center, I had my aunt sent me. In India, we give shagun. Like, anybody does something good, you give money. There's a tradition of giving, like, in an envelope, we give money. So she sent me 11,000 rupees, and now we have a UPI system on UPI. And my mom messages me that your aunt sent you 11,000 rupees as shagun. You won't believe it. That was the salary that needs to go for this lady. And then I opened the donation box. I had around 5 to 6,000 rupees in the donation box, which would take care of grocery, which would take care of the expenses for that, those the next week or so, So the divine doesn't let you down. If you completely surrender and you have no doubt on his or its capability, then if you take a step, it takes 10 steps towards you. You take one step towards the divine. And the divine will not let you down. It'll
So what?
uphold you. And I was crying that day. That, Hindi mein bolte na, meri izzat nahi girne di Bhagwan. Right? I had money to give to the salary. I had money for myself. And that's more than enough for now. But the lesson that I listened to my husband, and he said, you should do some things for free because you want to do it for free, but you also do something where you charge a nominal, you charge so that you can do this.
Yeah,
Otherwise,
exactly.
you'll keep taking out from your business, you'll keep asking family members, and then there's no respect in that, is there?
Yeah.
That you need to be supported by your family to do what you're doing.
But at the same time, you also believe there's no shame in making money, right?
There is no shame, but there was a subconscious belief which came from my mother that humanitarian work should be done for free. Because she always thought like that. But she had the luxury of thinking like that because their roles were divided, my dad and my mother's. He was the money person, the earner, and she was a humanitarian. So she never had an issue with money because her husband used to keep giving money for humanitarian work. Now, in my case, my poor husband is sitting here with me. He's not working. So either he has to leave me and go so that he can support me in humanitarian work. But I question that within me. I question that where is this thought coming from? That I should do this work but for free. That thought was coming from my mother. And I said, no, but my mother had so much money that my dad used to give every month to do all this humanitarian work. I can do both, na? I can get that from my father, the ability to earn. So some things I will charge for, and some things I will do for free. That's it. That balance needs to be there so that I can do this well, so that I can sit in peace, not worrying about how am I going to get money next month. So some things need to be, done in a way that give you a flowing income so that in peace you can do the things that are needed to be done and do them well.
Actually,
So,
what?
for my, yeah, in my case, this is just my case. Everybody's case is different.
Yes, but then, like I said, money, because it's so fear-based and do not spend recklessly, you need to save for your retirement, is like a very real fear.
It's a useless fear. It's so
You're
useless, I'm telling you, that it paralyzes us. The mind is so paralyzed by the fear of money. It's almost the same as the fear of death. If I tell you you're going to die right now, you will feel the same fear that you feel when that your money is getting over. Isn't that crazy? It is so linked with survival. That you won't be able to survive if you don't have money. Survive, I mean, sadak pe aa jaoge. Your mind will immediately think of that scenario that you'll be on the streets,
I'm going to lose it all
homeless,
in
begging.
this.
Your bank, your loan chade honge tumhare sar pe. People will be saying bad things to you. The mind will go to that depth of. I've really looked at the fear when it comes to money. Like I've seen it that the mind is so afraid of being in that state, but you never ever come in that state. Has anyone ever come in that state? Something or the other always works out. Nobody really gets homeless unless and until you're reckless, drug addict, alcoholic.
But at the same time, we need to do something, right? We can't be sitting and just hoping or manifesting.
You can't be hoping, but you cannot be driven by fear. See, understand what I'm why I'm focusing so much on the fear aspect of it. Till the fear is guiding you, you'll always be a slave. There you'll be like that rat on the wheel, You'll never get off the wheel. So fear cannot be the guiding force. Something higher needs to be your reason to do what you're doing. If money becomes the guiding force, then one is in such anxiety. Without realizing it, you'll always be anxious. That anxiety will never go away. If fear is the driving force of why you're doing what you're doing, money is. So that's why we say money is very easy to be made. It's very easy. We've got to change our relationship with money from fear to love. That's why I say, just say, I love money. There's a difference when you say, I love money. I love it. I just love having money. And then you say, I'm really scared that I might not make my bills. I might not be able to pay it. I might not have that much money that I want. Look at the energy, the difference in the energy. When you just say, I love money, listen, period, I love money. I want money because I love money. I like having more money. I like having extra money. I like not having to think about money. But if you worry about money, then it's a different energy. Fear and love are very different levels. Love is here, fear is here. And then
so
the highest
the...
level is indifference. So there are three levels, I would say, to break it down.
Okay.
People make a lot of money. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised. The billionaires, I come across millionaires, like so many millionaires in my family. They're all operating from the lowest principle of fear. After becoming multi-millionaires also, they are afraid.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? They're still worried about money after having millions.
Yeah.
So they're chasing money out of fear. Every day that guy is getting up and he cannot, he's in his 60s, 50s, and he still cannot, you know, kya hoga, board members, investors, this, that.
But then if you talk to these people, they would define it in the way that because of this, they became multimillionaires. And these people, they will always say that because I was so careful with money, because I was not reckless, because I did not spend it all.
If you're a very high vibrational human being, you will not be able to hang around these people.
Yeah.
Because they talk differently, they think differently.
Yes.
And the world glorifies.
Yes. Exactly.
This lot.
Yeah. So then how do we manifest?
So don't manifest. Why do you want to manifest that? A, please, you know, just because a particular model has been over glorified in the world, a very masculine, dry, cutthroat. That's a very different human being. Must be. It's like Alexander or all these conquerors. Do we want to be like that? And why?
Yeah.
What is this definition of success? What is this you and who created this definition of success? Some really lonely, love-deprived man. Who made this normal?
Yeah.
That the purpose of, if you look at the Indian civilization, it has been the wealthiest civilization in the world. No wonder everybody stole everything from India. Because there was a lot of wealth here. But what did we do with our wealth? We built temples. We created beautiful textiles, jewelry, art like no other. We invested that time, energy in literature. Look at the texts, the Vedas, the Puranas, all the Shastras, Upanishads. There are no better. That peaks literature, the human mind's ability to write that kind of stuff. We were not claiming, we were not going around conquering everybody.
Yeah.
There's no sense of like, we're going out there to destroy the world. We were making good use of that wealth. That's conscious. Consciously wealthy.
Yeah.
But today what is happening in the world is this bizarre numbers game. Like, it's very Alexanderish behavior. In my life, I will try to get as much as I can and then die with my hands open. Unconscious, wealthy human beings.
Yeah.
Money for money's sake, because you're so damn afraid. You are not living a good quality life. So India taught the world this, right? That the purpose of money is to do something with it. Money is not the goal. Money is the means to an end. And why people are crazily trying to manifest money is because this whole culture of, I'm a billionaire, 40, under 40, and Forbes 30 list. And then what will happen? If you really look closely at those people's lives, they're very miserable, most of them. I wouldn't say all of them. There's a very healthy model of wealth.
Yeah.
And the healthy model of wealth is based on purpose. It's based on, I want to create something. I want to do something that my time, energy will be justified in, then money in that case is always a byproduct. It is never the goal itself. So when we're manifesting money, in my courses at least, I take everybody deep into that space that really, what does your soul desire? Because if you get clear about that and you combine it with good meditative practices, some tantra techniques to elevate your energy, you'll realize money will just come. Money will just come so easily to you. I had the exact amount of money that was needed to build the center. My money served something. I had a vision, a purpose that I want to teach this. Those courses made me money. But the intention was not money. Just trying to get everybody to understand that. I didn't set out thinking, I want to be a billionaire. I set out thinking the impact I want to have in the world. The way in which I can enrich lives around me. How can this human being's talent, brain, thought process help make this world a more beautiful place in whichever way I can? So the money came for everything. And that will also earn me money. It's not like that's not earning me money. Those activities are also earning me money. But again, the mind is not stuck in the money. The mind is stuck in what do I want to do with the money?
Yeah, exactly. What if you just want money for yourself? For better clothes, a better car, travel the world?
I only had money. And initially, when I was younger, I didn't want to do anything for the world. I wanted the next iPod. I wanted a Montblanc. I was a 10-year-old who had a Montblanc pen. Because I saw it, I found it pretty. And I said, I want that pen. And because I wanted it, you won't believe it, my father gifted it to me. Who gives a 10-year-old a Montblanc? So all my earlier life, I was using all these things to just manifest things. I wanted the dress, I wanted the wedding, I wanted the jewelry, I wanted the man. It's how we evolve. It's only when that little kid in us is satisfied. Then we want to become adults. Till we don't satisfy that little kid, we need to satisfy that little kid that wants, it's like this, the world is like the chocolate factory and you're like Charlie in the chocolate factory. You want everything. So go for it. Now you will get everything. It's just that as you evolve, you start getting bored. Now Gucci Prada doesn't. In my case, I got bored. Because actually, when you really do start manifesting everything, there is no end to it. You can manifest solitaires, you can manifest Rolexes, you can manifest a $1 billion idea. It's not just, you can manifest the dress, the hotels. What do you want? There's no dearth in this universe. This universe is created to be, the creator wants you to enjoy what it has created. So it's not here to punish you. Some people say, Earth is a school. No, Earth is not a school. Earth is like
a picnic.
Yeah, it's a playground. It's a picnic spot. Don't look at it like a school, you know. So once we are satiated with our desires of such things, then the natural progression is natural. When you've studied class 1-2, the natural progression is class 3, class 10, college. So similarly on the spiritual path, the natural progression is a human being wants to give. But first, we can't jump the steps, huh? You can't just jump from 1 to 10. So that's why I don't talk too much about all these other things. Because I think first we need to come to that level and first play around with the material world a little bit.
So give us the basic manifestation for dumb people or whatever those books are called. So if you have to give us 3 tips.
Manifestation for, I'll say, the heavily conditioned people.
Okay.
No one's dumb. We're just heavily conditioned by stupidity, like all ignorance. Ignorance is what? You don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Which means you don't know who's running this system. If once you stop breathing, you're gone.
Yeah.
So, what is the thing of value? The breath. Really, it's so obvious. It's like the truth is right there in front of us, and we can't see it because it's right there. Just think about it. Like, the only thing that sets a living and a dead person apart is the breath. And we don't pay attention to it at all because it's just mechanically going on. So, could this breath be more than just oxygen? Good place to start. That means this breath might be connecting with me with some god out there or some universal intelligence. Something is there in this breath because it's keeping me alive. So, the first step I tell everybody to do is start breathing, take a breath. Don't be afraid. Just breathe. And then there's no other way to kick out fear from your body. Deep breathing. Just 10 seconds of conscious, like breathe. Wait, relax, breathe. If this is there, that means everything can be figured out. Because there's life right now. Second thing. Really observe where do your money beliefs come from. Right? Where are these beliefs coming from? Who told you about money? If you look at planet Earth, there are mines and mines and mines that haven't been dug up yet. How much of Earth have we really explored? Antarctica is lying totally, we don't know anything what's there under those, the ocean. We don't know what the total gallon of how much water is there on this planet. Do we know? There's no way we can measure it. We don't know how much gold there is under the earth. We've really discovered a very chota, small percentage of the abundance of this planet. We don't know the nature of the divine. So you've been brainwashed by religion, by society, by family, by schools, to live in fear of this, the Almighty. They all create a fearful relationship with the divine. That it will punish you. There is a scarcity. The divine is a bad human being. He's killing people. People are dying. People are unhealthy, miserable. So we don't know the divine. And we don't know the laws of the universe. Because there are some laws in place. Laws, or I would like to call it systems in place. Did we ever go through a class on spirituality as kids? No. We studied math, physics. We didn't study the guy who's made all this. So spirituality is just studying the guy who created this whole thing. Let's learn the laws, and then once you learn the laws, you realize that you're heavily brainwashed. And it will take some time to wipe that out and put in some new or the truth. So the truth is that there is abundance. That, thank God. That should relieve you. So once you breathe, then you realize, okay, wait, there's something going on with planet Earth. बहुत कुछ है यहाँ पे. I don't have that much. Right? Let's accept where we stand right now. So acceptance. You do not be in denial of your current situation. Right now, where I'm standing is I'm broke, let's say. But does not mean that the universe is broke. So, how can I have more of this?
How?
That's it. Yeah, that how is a series of steps that we do. We retrain the brain to believe that it is worthy first. Because most of the times I see that people don't think that they're worthy. They don't think they're worthy of this. They think, nahi, wo worthy hai na. Wo mehnat kar raha hai. That guy is working hard. Right? That person's working hard. That person's intelligent. Oh no, Mana must have money because oh, she was probably born in a family. What past life karma must have been very good. If we have nothing to say, we'll say, that person's past life karma must have been very good around money. Maybe she just got lucky. You know? Maybe she just got lucky. So we have all these thoughts that everybody else can have it, I can't have it. I can't have this. Others can have it. And I'm not worthy because I'm lazy. I'm not intelligent. I don't want to work that hard. Because these are the things attached to having money. Hard work. Because since you were a kid, you were hearing this. Making money is hard. Making money is difficult. If you study, you get the grades, then you will get somewhere in life. And most poor us, we're lazy. We don't feel like doing all these things. How will money come to me? So we have to retrain our brain to believe better things, replace that defunct old thoughts with new thoughts. That's it. Once the thoughts around money change, this is the modern Western model that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the Hindu model. The Western model, retrain the brain, think better thoughts. So for that, we have techniques like affirmations. We have techniques like sleep hypnosis, subliminal messages, visualization, using your imagination to create scenarios in your mind of wealth. The more and more one person does that, you start increasing your money frequency. Because it's all really manifestation is just a game of what you think. You have to change your belief systems around money. Second thing, take action. A lot of people think that just thinking how will it happen. So I always say, take action. And action does not mean have a 5-year plan, but what feels right now. So for example, okay, I'll give you my shallow examples, right? Because I have that side to me also. I have a really spiritual side, but I also have a really materialistic side to me. So my shallow side wanted the Ralph Lauren wardrobe. I don't know, I got to this phase where I just wanted to wear Ralph Lauren. And I was like, I'm gonna wear these polo shirts and the checks and very, classic sweaters. So I went on the website and I did the cart, I added everything to cart, and it was coming to some 12 lakhs, the budget of everything that I'd selected. That's a lot of money to spend on some
Clothes.
new clothes on a brand. And I come from a Banya family. So Banyas are like the merchant class of India. So, the Banya in me, the merchant in me was like, no, that's too much money on clothes. So I was like, I just made a Pinterest board of my face with all this little Ralph Lauren. You won't believe this. And this is just when the COVID was going on. So I said, I can't spend this much money. It's COVID, we don't know what's going to happen to the world. And I made this vision board 10 days later, and I forgot about it. I said, okay, we'll see. When I go to Delhi or when I do something, then I'll see. 10 days later, I get an impulse. So this is how manifestation works. You'll get an impulse, which will have no logic. Most people are not in touch with their intuitive or this inner impulse. I call it the inner guru. There is an inner GPRS system that's guiding you, and that's there to guide you, but we don't listen to it. So in the morning, I just got this impulse that I don't feel like going to work. I feel like going to this market in Dehradun, the place where I was staying. And it's this really small market, like a street market, where you get like streetwear, and there is no Ralph Lauren, there is nothing, there is no high fashion, nothing in that area. It's like very mass for the masses. I got an impulse to go there in the morning at 10 o'clock in the morning. I want to go to that bazaar, and I don't stop myself. So I'm like, okay, let's go today. No work, we're going to this Paltan Bazaar, it's called. So I go to this Paltan Bazaar. And there's a shop in front of me. It looks shady. Shady as in like dingy. There's dhool mitti, like there's a lot of dust there. And I feel like going up the stairs of that shop. I'm like, why do I want to go there? I won't find anything there. There's some lanky sweater hanging outside their display, you know, dirty. I said, I don't know why I feel like going there. I went up the shop. I went up. I asked this guy, what do you sell here? He's like, clothes? I said, yeah, but like, what is all this? These sweaters and all you sell? So he's like, yeah, but I have a really nice lot that has come. I said, lot? What lot? He says, wait here, I'll get something for you. I said, okay. So he gets these garbage bags, black colored garbage bags. I'm like, garbage bags? No, like, this is such a, you know, Mana, you're just wrong here. You're going to get nothing. You're wasting your time. Go back. And he opens those garbage bags. You will not believe this. They have labels, they're designs that I've saved on my Pinterest first. Everything that I had saved on my Pinterest is right there.
Seriously.
I mean, so these are all export rejects that he has. Because China's close to Uttarakhand.
No.
Or these, you know, so there's a border where the manufacturing units are for these big companies. These guys are sending stuff across the border. Because it's easy probably to get it through here. I have no idea about this stuff. I'm just standing there getting goosebumps that everything that I've saved on my Pinterest and more is right here in front of my eyes on a Monday morning at 10 a.m. in a bazaar where you're getting utensils and the masses are going to shop. In this dingy little shop, and he had a Michael Kors jacket and he has these Ralph Lauren sweaters, he has these shirts, everything is there and more. I shopped worth 50,000 rupees. And you won't believe it, everything was not more than 500, 800 rupees. And I said, this, it cannot get crazier than this. The universe delivered my package in Paltan Bazaar. And in 50,000 rupees, I had everything that I wanted.
Yeah, and usually the export rejects, you don't even see why they were rejected. No, it's a tiny thing, yeah.
That much money? To get like 50 pairs of clothes? I came home, everybody was like, yuck, you should wash them. Why are you wearing this? And then when I wore them, my mom is like, I want that. Where'd you get that from? I said, Paltan Bazaar. She said, Paltan Bazaar? They're selling this kind of stuff? I said, no, this was just magically there at this one shop. You know, so magic happens. Manifestation is magic. It's what, I have no other word for it. It's just magic. I wanted a Wrangler, a Jeep Wrangler. So I just saved.
I want one.
Yeah, and I had this beautiful color, like this popping neonish color Wrangler in mind. And Wrangler was not available in India at that time. But I had saved this image. And then I was like, you know, importing it is like too expensive. Nobody's going to do that for me, you know, import me a car. You won't believe it. The day Wrangler launched in India, within a month's time, I got a Wrangler as a gift. Nobody knew that I wanted a Wrangler.
Okay.
At 6 a.m. in the morning, my brother drives in and I'm getting irritated that who's this person honking at the gate at 6 a.m.? You know, somebody, what's, is there an emergency? What has happened? So I go out, you know, who is it? And there's this big beam, you know, flashing in the door. And my brother gives me the key and he's like, that's yours? I said, that's my dream car. And it happened after a good like 6 years because it took Wrangler that much time to launch the car in India.
Yeah.
Right? But when it got launched, it was with me. So that's how it works. You desire and you surrender the desire. Don't get attached to your desire. Because if you get attached to your desire, then you'll bring your vibration low because you'll worry about it. Worry brings the vibration low. Fear brings it low. Hope brings it up. Optimism brings it up. Faith brings it up. So surrender really helps in manifestation. Learn to surrender. Like, let it go. If it comes, it comes. It doesn't come, it doesn't come. Then it comes faster.
So it's not something it's not something like an affirmation that you're supposed to repeat to yourself every day. Like, I want a Jeep, I want a Jeep.
I always tell people to do affirmations as a way to delete the old operating system.
Okay.
You're upgrading to a new system. Do it mechanically.
Yeah.
Don't do it with expectation that because I'm doing it, something will happen.
Okay.
Like, even when I teach Kriya Yoga, I tell everybody, don't expect enlightenment on day three. Don't expect to see colors popping, fireworks happening, flying yogis happening on day five. Wait. Don't chase it. Then it's no different from doing drugs. Because anybody who does acid or who does is chasing that high, you know. They want to trip and they want to have those experiences again and again. So drugs can give you a predictable result, but sadhana, it takes time, you know, to get there. So let it go. Just do it because you need to do it. Do the practice as a discipline without waiting for the result. The result will come. And it's inversely proportional.
True.
The more you can surrender, the faster the result comes. So surrender and the result is, you know, connected. More surrender, faster. The more attached and worried you are, the slower your manifestation will become.
Okay.
And is there, because you are into astrology as well, is it possible that somebody is not able to manifest because there's something wrong in the planetary positions, or it's not the right time,
or they're just manifesting the wrong thing? Like, let's say right now, it's the time period. So astrology really helps in, you know, not, it's not, let me tell you, we should not even get into predictions. So a lot of people ask me, will this happen to me? I said, come on, you're a human being. You've got to make it happen. Use your, you know, meditate, do all this and make whatever you want, make it happen. Chart will support something really well. So person who is very in tune with themselves will naturally be operating as per their chart.
Okay.
A person that's very connected to the self will naturally be doing what the chart wants them to do.
Okay.
And they'll be in sync with the universe. But someone says the self, because of family, various relationship issues, education, like people, it's listened to people more than itself. The being that has listened to others more than listening to its own inner, will always be in trouble. It will not have that flow. So astrology can help tell you, is this the right time to do what you're doing? Maybe the planetary positions and the time period that you're going through, a different activity would be more suitable right now. So when I was 18, I wanted to be an actress. My father said, no way. Because, you know, we don't look at the acting profession with a lot of dignity. So he says, no way. That was my dasha, to be an actress. When I decided to be an actress on my own, because I realized I shouldn't have listened to my father and I shouldn't have listened to anybody and I should have just done it on my run away from home, and, you know, the time I decided to do this, it was not my dasha. The soul had evolved and the soul wanted to do something else now. So even though I was getting success in it, I couldn't do it.
Okay.
So there's a timing. And there is a natural predisposition of that human towards certain activities. So if your chart is showing that you will do well in a foreign country, then you must make the effort to move there. Now, that nobody will do for you. Nobody, universe will not airlift you and put you there. You will have to figure out, that's why you need to use your human intelligence, right? We have a brain for a reason. That at least if some, you get the feeling that I should move to a, and it happens many times. When I read charts, I ask them, did this idea cross your mind? Because it should have. See, because Jyotish is amazing, right? You're supposed to be in sync with your chart. So if chart is showing that you should go abroad, that idea would have 100% crossed your mind, but you just didn't do it because you were afraid. You didn't know how to leave this place and go there. So 90% people will say, yes, this idea has crossed our mind. But I didn't know how to do it. So that is what the brain is there for. That's the fun of having a mind, you know, that you can make a plan and you can do whatever is appropriate in the moment to move towards that goal. So Jyotish can help you align with your chart, and that's very important. Aligning with what the universe has planned for you. Because the universe's plan for you is much bigger and much better than your plan for you. Because our mind is very small, right? It cannot fathom such a big reality. That reality, that higher intelligence, can create a better plan for you. It knows you too well. It knows you better than you know you. So I trust the universe more than myself because I have manifested things for myself that have got me into so much trouble. Because you sometimes just don't know why you want something. You
Yeah,
ask
that's one of
for
the
it, you get
things.
it,
Yes.
and you get stuck.
Yeah.
Now you have to deal with that thing. Whether it's a child, a relationship, some car, it can be anything. You thought maybe, oh, living here would be fun. Let's go here. But now you're seeing the reality of that, and then you're like, oh no, I was better off where I was. This was a wrong decision. So when we do Kriya Yoga, the Hindu way of manifesting, that's why there's a little difference. It is a more mature model of manifesting and a more conscious that you say that, okay, I'm desiring this, but universe, because I bow down to you, the higher intelligence, give it to me only if it is good for me. Give it to me only if, so you never break that bond with the universe. And you trust that if the universe is taking you somewhere, it has a plan for you. And you recognize and you appreciate the divine. There's an appreciation for the universe instead of this, you know, oh, I want this and I want this and I want that. You appreciate the divine, cosmic intelligence. So you surrender to it and you take that into account, whatever you're doing in life. So I found, although these techniques are very good, but what they do is, it's like there's slow growth in it. It's not a very balanced model because sometimes we're kids. We don't like if I give firecrackers to my child, she'll probably burn herself. So it's better to kind of, you know, have a more holistic way of living, of going towards money or going towards sex or going towards fame and whatever you want, you can have it. But I think it's better that it happens at the right time. You know, I'm glad I'm teaching now as opposed to when I was
Ten years
24.
ago.
I didn't have the maturity to you know, solve people's problems in that way. I became a mother. I ran a house, I ran a company, I saw the ups and downs of that life. So the universe gave this to me at the right time. So I really believe in it that there's a timing. You know, there's a timing, and that timing is divine timing. So we must develop the patience for that. It's very difficult to develop the patience for the right time, but nothing can move at your time. Things will move at their time.
In a similar way, do you believe even good health can be manifested?
Totally. Okay,
Like if you have a problem.
you're sitting in front of someone who had autoimmune Hashimoto's at the age of 22, 21. So my father passed away, sent my system into a shock, emotional breakdown. 6 months, I figure out I have thyroid and it was very high. And then I had nothing was fixing it, no amount of medication was fixing it. So I researched, and the journey took me to Hashimoto's. So there is an autoimmune thyroid disorder. Nothing stopped me. I mean, I was fit. People gain so much weight on thyroid. I was fit. Fit means I did like treks. I was eating everything. I don't know, nothing happened with that thyroid. Because I found this book, which is Louise Hay's book.
Okay.
You can heal your body and you can heal your life. What a book
Okay.
she's written, right? And in Hinduism also we have these age-old practices of, yoga, which is a mind-body connecting practice. So it heals. And then different kinds of sadhanas. But the mind and the body are connected. Simple. They're not, if we cannot look at them in isolation, which Western medicine does. The Western medicine, the doctor is just looking at you as the body. No doctor asks you, what kind of dreams are you having these days? I've never had a doctor ask me. But a holistic, alternative healing homeopath, give me a questionnaire to fill. What kind of dreams are you getting? I said, what kind of dreams am I getting? How does that have to do with my thyroid? Fix my thyroid. He's saying, answer the questions. So I was like, okay, I'm getting really bad dreams. Then he asked me questions, when was the last time you cried? And I said, every day, I miss my dad. And I can't sleep. And I have these bad dreams. And my relationship is failing because I'm in so much pain that nobody wants to be with me because all I can talk about is my father and my daddy, And I've got so much pain and no one wants to listen to me. And I'm crying in his office and I'm filling this questionnaire. And then he says, okay, come back after a few days and I'll give you your medicine. And he gives me this little homeopathic balls. You won't believe it. I did it for 1 month. My thyroid was low, was normal. That has never been in my whole life. My antibody count was so low. It was in lakhs, which is very high autoimmune. Like your immune system is out of whack. And it came down to 1300 within a month's time. I wanted to hug him and kiss him. But there is such a strong connection. He healed me emotionally. And those medicines are not working on just the physical body, they're also working on your hormone, endocrine, and there's a lot of stuff that's happening. Emotions are not processed. That's triggered my journey of how to keep myself healthy and how to talk to myself. You won't believe it. My first baby was a normal pregnancy. In my labor lasted for 3.5 hours, 3.5 hour labor. The lady next to me was kicking nurses, hitting them, and I was conscious of doing that. And I said, I'm ready to push this baby out, and the baby was out. This time, the most painful part of labor, the peak labor, was only for 1.5 hours. So the doctor tells me, you've outdone yourself. I worked till the last day of my pregnancy. Last day means I was going up and down the mountain in my 9th month. My last day, just before I delivered, I did a reading. 1 week after my delivery, I started readings. Within a month, I did my course. And my baby's just 2.5 months old right now. And I'm full on back to work. You see my energy. And I'm vegetarian. So we need to go look at health beyond the size of my waist, the weight that I am, the blood work. There's something much more about health that we don't talk about. The mind-body connection. And if you work on the mind, body follows. Body really follows. So I teach that. Like I have a health manifestation course where you really just a 10-day boot camp to learn how to again use the mind to change the body. And I've had people, you won't believe it. I was shocked when I was conducting the course. Because I've not had very severe diseases in my life. My issues had been with thyroid and weight or, things like that. Not much. I've been a very fit human being my whole life. So I was shocked at the case studies in the course. This girl, she's 35 kilos. She's 25 years old. That's crazy. Has been on a wheelchair her whole life. Parents have died. Lives with a grandmom, toxic grandmother. And she says that doing your practices, this is the first day in my whole life since I've been alive that I woke up without pain. I have no pain. And she was wishing to die every day of her life. She says, I wake up and I wish that I commit suicide. I don't want to live because I don't know what it's to be pain-free.
Yeah.
And this is the first time I want to live. You've made me want to live now and want to do something. And this is health. Health is not just a weight that these women, mostly everybody's trying to be live till 100. Then what the hell are you gonna do till 100? There's gotta be something that you want to do with your life.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think we need to really again shift the paradigm of how we're talking about health and stop freaking people out about death and about disease and about, because the more these words and cancer, oh God, the
Yeah.
amount people are talking about this word, you're going to
In the US.
manifest, spread, it's going to spread.
Yes.
Because we're just thinking about this stuff and
All
freaking
the
out
time.
into it
Yeah.
all the time.
And I feel the first thing that happens after trauma is skin diseases. Do you also think that?
Yes, because in see Jyotish in astrology,
Yeah.
her skin is connected with Buddha, Mercury,
Okay.
right? Which is your nervous system also.
Okay.
So skin has a very close connection with your nervous system. If the nervous, what happens in trauma? The nervous system goes for a shock.
Yeah.
Cannot handle an event. Otherwise, the nervous system is trying to connect, make sense of the outside.
Yeah.
So the nervous system gets hyperactive or gets a shock. Your skin is going to get affected because the shock is going to totally disrupt your glands. Everything is connected, right? So if you work on your buddh, that means calming down your nervous system, your skin will start clearing up.
That's
Your body will
meditation.
throw out toxins. Meditation is one way. There's so many techniques. We do another thing in our center. We do the Tibetan bowl healing. Oh my God, so powerful. Because not everybody can meditate.
Yes.
Not everybody is designed to meditate. Some people like to run. Like my husband's meditation is driving. He just picks up the car and he goes for a long drive and he drives really fast. And his thing is that when I'm driving, I'm thoughtless. And it's full speed, so it's just me and the road. So everybody has a different way to go into that meditative state. So for those people who can't meditate but need healing, healing of the nervous system, healing of the body, Tibetan bowls are just mind-blowing. The kind of results I've seen with that, I've had people walk in depressed in 20 minutes. They're blissed out. They have a big smile on their face. Because all the bowls, they're a different frequency. So when we play them, different chakras are getting activated
Yeah.
and opening up. When the chakra opens up, more prana flows through the chakra. So any disease that is related to that chakra will get resolved. So
Yeah.
it's better than taking the medicine. We pay so much to doctors and hospitals. I mean, I don't know, a lot of people will go, but Tibetan bowls are magical in terms of healing.
I know we've kind of crossed the time. I just, well, because we're talking about healing now. But today, like, there are so many healers, and especially with sound, the Tibetan bowls that you're talking about, like, even here, even in the West now, there are many, okay? And my always fear with sound is because sound, like you said, tends to move things inside. We've all seen those experiments, how it works on water and it forms different shapes.
Absolutely. You have to be really well trained, one.
Exactly, yeah.
You have to have a very great intention in life.
Okay.
A lot of healers are just doing it for money.
Yes.
You cannot come from that space. Money
And
cannot, again.
how do you decide who should I do it with?
It's your karma also,
Yeah.
the kind of person that you are. If you're a trusting, loving soul, you'll never end up with the wrong healer. But
Okay.
if you're also that kind of a person that's very money obsessed and a business mentality, then you'll naturally meet those kind of people who are also in it for the money. So somewhere, you know, everything I say, you stay pure inside and nothing wrong will happen to you.
Yeah.
When we are pure, right, we only attract that. And if anybody who doesn't carry that good energy will get removed from our life very quickly. Wrong people will not stay around you for too long. They
Yes.
might do you wrong, but they will not be able to harm you. But when we're low and we have not worked on our purity and integrity and character, then we will attract a lot of these harm, you know, people who can do damage to you. So it's also our karma, who, what kind of teachers, gurus, healers are we connecting with? But one should not worry so much about that. Always, I always say, you trust in the divine. That's it. The divine, even through a crook, it will do you good. Even if you land up with a fake teacher, I never worried if someone was a fake or was someone original. I was always in communion with God.
Okay.
Even through a crook, the crook will end up giving me some gyan and some wisdom that I will imply in my life. But if I am not connected with the divine and I am not pure and I am not honest and I am not seeking, then I'm bound to, then even with the greatest teacher, I will not get any benefit. So it's really all about, all, everything is just us. So yeah, don't worry too much about who's right and who's wrong. You just tell God that, you know, manifest a good healing session. Yeah. And if you get a vibe that this place is not good, again, sorry, after saying that, I also say, trust your guidance, trust your vibe, trust that feeling that you get when you look at someone or you look at a place and you feel that, no, I don't want to. Like, I got this feeling about a food. Somebody was giving me something and just holding it, I got this feeling that this is not nice. But I ate it anyway, because I didn't want that person to feel
Feel
bad. I got a loose stomach.
that.
So sometimes our gut feeling, our instinct is telling us that this place
Yeah.
doesn't look good. This person's not giving the good vibration. But you force yourself or you do it anyway, then we see a negative result. So always trust the feeling that you're getting around someone or a place. That's a good way to stay away from the crooks.
So thank you so much, Mana. I think this would be a good point to end this wonderful conversation. And it was really a pleasure. It was
Thank
really
you.
nice.
Thank
Thank
you. The
you.
pleasure is mine. The pleasure is mine. Thank you.